بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Last week, we discussed how Surah At-Takwir was divided into two passages. So we had the first passage that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the events, the great events that will happen on the Day of Judgment. And that first passage concluded with an ayah of action. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. Then the second passage was all about beliefs and about the false beliefs of the disbelievers and their superstitious beliefs and the bad omens they used to think of, for example, their daughters and the beliefs they had in stars. They would see the twinkling star. They would believe that this is telling us something. And they'd see a shooting star and they'd believe that this is a sign of something. So the first passage concluded with an ayah of action. The second passage was speaking about beliefs. And so the whole idea of the second passage was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes their belief and how false it is. So that was done through, we already studied, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ الْجَوَارِ الْكُنَّسِ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسِ وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسِ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proved how false and how flawed their source of guidance and their source of information is. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end of that surah, He said, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ. In other words, why were these things said, all these وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ, then وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينَ, وَمَا, again, وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينَ, and again, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Why are all these refutations? It is so it can expose what the reality of the kuffar are. So, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ, your companion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is not insane. Rather, those that you go to and seek guidance from, the palm readers, they're the ones that are insane. وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينَ. He, alayhi salatu wassalam, he saw Jibreel. He saw Jibreel. He saw who he communicated with. Unlike those who you go to, the palm readers, they didn't see the jinn that they got the information from. So they didn't see them. While Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw where this source of information is coming from. وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينَ. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not cheap when it comes or when it's in regards to the future. In other words, we said the whole Quran is about the future and it's about unseen events. So Allah tells us what's going to happen in the future, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this Quran what happened before. So unseen, ghaib. Unlike those that you go to, they're ala al-ghaybi bi-dhanin. And we said dhanin means bakhil, cheap. So for them, they don't give you this information for free. You have to pay him money, basically for rubbish. While Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this sacred source of information, it's given to you for free. وَمَا, and then at the end, بِضَنِينَ, meaning he's not cheap when it comes to this. He actually invites you, he gives you this. وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينَ, and it concluded, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And we said, I don't know if I recall this, but just to keep this in mind, ضَنِين, we said, means بَخِيل, cheap, but the difference is that بَخِيل is in the physical aspect. Like you're cheap in money, you're cheap in this, you're cheap in that. أَمَّا الضَّنِينَ, it is cheap, but it means cheap when it comes to information. You withhold information, right? So you don't give information out. You're running a successful plan, a business plan. Someone comes and tells you, can we have the plan how you ran this business? No, I can't share this with you. So when it comes to information, that's when you call him Dhanin. وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concluded, said, وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his word is not the word, of a cursed shaytan, of a cursed devil. So why is this important to mention? Unlike those that you go to, their word is the pure word of the devil, of the cursed devil. So there's the difference here. This is why these negations come, so they can expose the reality of the belief of the mushrikeen. So then after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Very important to understand this, how it's coming into the context. Now after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed their source of information, and it destroyed their source of guidance, and it exposed how flawed it is, they realized, Quraysh, they realized themselves that there is no way except the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no guidance, there is no true information except what comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except what comes unto Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through Jibreel. So now, if there is no other way except following the Prophet, except the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then don't choose any other way. So now tell me, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Where are you heading? Where are you going? You see, in the previous surah, the disbelievers would ask the questions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ أَإِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا نَخِرَةِ. Are we going to be brought back to life even after we've become decayed bone? عِظَامًا نَخِرَةِ. In the previous, before that, Surah An-Naba, عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَإِ الْعَظِيمِ الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. We explained how they're in confusion and how they're in contradiction amongst one another. Everyone has his own theory about the Day of Judgment. The point was that they were posing these questions. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives the ultimate question. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. After knowing all this information, and after being exposed and knowing the reality and the truth and where the guidance lies, tell me now, where are you heading? You have the world of corrupt knowledge, of corrupt information, misguiding, misleading information that is following the Quran, these palm readers. You have this way, and you have the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the source. There you have the source of the most authentic and secure knowledge, which has been preserved in every single way. We already studied how it was preserved through the qualities of Jibreel. We said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Jibreel in those specific descriptions, and those actually defended him and defended how the message comes. إنه لقول رسول كريم ذي قوة عند ذي العرش مكين مطاع ثم أمين. This was actually describing how this message is preserved. So now you have this way of the corrupt knowledge, the Quran, or you have this way of following the Quran and the true and actual source, the true source of information. So now فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. That's how it comes into context. Where are you going? So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. This is nothing but a reminder for the alameen. إِنْ هُوَ, again, it is nothing. So it is referring to the Qur'an. It's not necessary to say إِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ, because we explained this before, the Qur'an is a big matter. So when you say it, when you use a pronoun, everyone already understands what this is alluding or pointing to. So in huwa, it, meaning the Qur'an, is nothing but dhikrun lil alameen. It is only a reminder for the world. Now in the previous surah, Surah Abasa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kalla innaha tadhkira. And here again the same word, in huwa illa dhikrun lil alameen. A bit different. Here there's the word al-alameen is added. And what does this illustrate? It illustrates that this book, this dhikr, this reminder, it doesn't need you, Quraysh. You can go. This is a dhikr for the alameen, not dhikrun li Quraysh. It's not only for Quraysh. You can go. If you don't want it, if you're still not convinced about this, take off. This is lil alameen. This is for the worlds. And here where it mentions worlds, it is actually talking about the nations. The nations of jinn and the nations of humans. The jinn and the humans. This book is for the jinn as well. And it is for the humans. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called this Qur'an a reminder. He called it a reminder. So that means every time you read something in this Qur'an, it's actually reminding you of the first covenant you took between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in where you agreed that He's your master. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا. You know, last time we did say this, we said that when you refer to something as a reminder, then it means you already know it. You're just being reminded about it. And apparently, how does this connect? When we open the Qur'an and read new ayat, first time I hear of this in my life, and Allah is calling this a reminder. What is it a reminder of? If always you open it and you read new things, it is actually the reminder of the first covenant you took between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The story is narrated in Surah Al-A'raf, in where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He took from the back of Adam, He took each and every single one of us, and we were in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a seed, as a soul. أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And He asked them a question, He asked us all a question. أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. Am I not your master? Am I not your Lord? Shall you not enslave yourself to me? We all answered one simple question. We said, قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا. Yes, indeed. We bear witness to what we're saying. So now every time you recite Qur'an, it serves as a reminder for that first covenant you took. Of course you're going to forget. You can't even remember what you had 1 week ago, what you ate. And definitely you cannot remember when you came out of your mother's stomach. And so definitely you cannot remember this covenant that was taken between you and Allah. So as a mercy from Allah, He revealed this Qur'an, and He reminded you of the story in Surah Al-A'raf. And so every single ayah that comes in the Qur'an serves as a reminder for this first covenant. Every single ayah reminds us that we must enslave ourselves to Allah. Every single ayah, whatever the context was, somehow it's understood that this ayah is giving me the understanding that I have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's from this door that the Qur'an was called a reminder. So Allah said, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Now, it is a reminder for the world. But who is going to benefit from this reminder? Who's going to benefit? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ. These are the people that are going to benefit from this reminder. Allah said, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ. This lam in liman, it is known as lam al-badal. What that means, it connects this ayah to the previous ayah before. So the way we understand this is, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ. بَدَلْ, that's how it's understood. This is nothing but a reminder for the one among you who has the intent, who wants to be upright and straight. لِمَنْ شَاءَ. who intends, who wants to be upright and straight, this will benefit him. But the one that doesn't want to be upright and straight, then this is not going to benefit him. So there's a beautiful imagery in this ayah, in this word, yastaqim. This word yastaqim, istiqama, that's the infinitive form, the masdar, and it comes from the word qama yaqumu. This beautiful understanding in this ayah, you know, qama yaqum means to stand up, to stand up. And yastaqim, it means the one who wants to stand up straight, vertically, right, this way. That's yastaqim, that's qam. And subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this Qur'an is a reminder for the one who wants to stand up straight. Subhanallah, you know, when do you recite this reminder? In Qur'an, in salat, when you're standing up straight, vertically in salat, you recite this. So even in the language of the ayah, it is alluding to salat. It's alluding to salat. So, you want to benefit from this reminder? Then you got to stand up in salat. You have to be, and salat basically comes from the word sila, which means connection. So this Qur'an is for someone who wants to connect with his Lord. And yastaqim, to connect with his Lord. So now, this is the answer of fa'ayna tadhhabun. Where are you heading? You should only be heading towards salat. You should only be heading towards connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should only be heading towards what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this offer is not new. This came already in the surah before. فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ Whosoever wills, then let him take this as a reminder. And in surah An-Naba, فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبَ Whoever wills, let him take a path that leads him to his Lord. And it's always Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts it in your hand. Because there is no force in Islam. لا إكراه في الدين. No compulsion. You feel free. If you don't, walk on. Walk along. This dhikr is lil'alameen. It's for the world. For whoever wants to benefit. For whoever wants to stand up straight. Now, a couple of things about the word sha'. This is very important. Inshallah ta'ala will help us conclude this surah. So pay attention to this word, sha'. And the topic of al-mashi'ah, the divine will, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the human effort, this divine will and the human effort, is a very, it's a topic that's very difficult to explain in a few minutes. So inshallah ta'ala, I just want to go over just the main things we have to understand, so you can be very careful when it comes to this door. This is known as Bab al-Qada wal-Qadr. But I'm not going to dwell all the way into it. I'm just going to give you a perspective from the ayat. So we're studying the ayat. We only give a perspective from the ayat. So now before we get into this, we need to understand what the word sha' means. Sha'. You know, there's a lot of words in the Arabic language that mean to intend, to want. So you say, insha'Allah, when Allah wills. You can also say, in aradallah. You know, there's a lot of words that mean to want, to intend. Sha', arad, nawa, azam, hamma, so many words. So what's the difference, or what does sha' give us of actual meaning? Sha' means to will, to intend. And it comes from the word shay'. Now I'm sure all of you know what shay' means. What's shay'? Something, a thing, an object. That's shay'. So what does sha', to intend, to will, have to do with a thing? So you got to connect these, you got to understand this. Now we said sha' comes from the word shay'. That means a concrete intention. Just like sha' is a thing, it's physical, it's reality, you can touch. Then sha' will mean a concrete intention. When your plans are so solid, when you're going to do this, when it's as concrete as something, it's as concrete as sha', then that's mashi'ah. That's when you say insha'Allah. When you know you're doing something, and you're solid and firm about it, that's then you'll say insha'Allah. The word irada is different We're just going to compare them with these two words because they come in the Quran. Irada, arada, also means to want and to intend. But arad could be a plan that's in your head. And there's nothing really physical. You're just plans. You all talk. That's arad. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. You know, it's for example, somebody plans to become a better Muslim. Oh, wallah, I plan to smoke. Here you don't say inshallah, you say in aradallah. Because you're doing nothing about it anyway. But when you say inshallah, you only say this when there's a concrete intention. When there's something physical. When you know you're going towards this, you're heading towards it. Amma arad is just something you have on your mind. It's just a plan that hasn't been executed yet. And there is no evidence of it being executed. That's al-irada. Different to mashia. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing those who truly want istiqamah. So he says, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ. Those that have a solid, concrete intention to stand straight and become upright in Islam. Not someone that says, you know what, I'll become a better Muslim. Yalla, let me see what the Quran offers me for a reminder. That's not going to benefit you. If you're true and sincere in your intention, and your intention is rock solid, then this Quran will benefit you. لِمَنْ شَاءَ. Not لِمَنْ أَرَادَ. لِمَنْ شَاءَ. مِنْكُمْ. From among you, أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ. But even in the end, your concrete intention, as solid as it is, as solid as your intent, it's dependent. It's dependent. No matter how strong your intention, it depends Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if He wills it or not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this surah and He says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. What concrete intentions are you going to make on your own except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for you? What concrete intention He has made for you? And so this ayah in the Quran is one of the summaries of the Quran. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illustrates in the Quran a balance between, as we said, divine will and human effort. Divine will and human effort. The whole Quran is about this balance. The whole Quran. And whose intention was mentioned first in this ayah? Allah says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ. Your intention was mentioned first. Now what does this teach us? It teaches us that you make the concrete and solid intention first. You start. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He'll make things easy for you. He'll make the journey easy towards what you're achieving. So you make the steps and then put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him to make things easy for you and you'll get to your goal. Now it is very important to understand the balance between these two things. The divine will and the human effort. Why is it important to understand the balance? Because if you prefer one over the other, you fail. Some people will say, well, I don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know how to run the business. I know how to make the money. I know how to get to my goal. If that's how you rely, if you rely on your human effort, then you fail. And the opposite is equal, it's the same. If you are just dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're smoking all day, or you're not praying, you don't wear the scarf, and you say, inshallah, when Allah guides me, when He wills the guidance for me. And you just depend on Allah's mashia and His will, and there is no human effort from your side, you also fail. So there's got to be the balance between the two. And it is also, and this is what we'll conclude with, very important to understand the balance between divine will and human effort, so at the end, you know who to blame. So at the end, you know who to blame. So you have some people, he commits the haram, he falls into the sin, and you come and you advise him, haram, brother, stay away from this, Allah forbid this. And then he responds and he says, well, Allah decreed this for me, this is Qadr Allah, what am I going to do? You know, for such people, slap him. You know why? If he argues and he says, what did you do this for? Tell him, bro, blame Allah. Blame him. You blame him for the haram you're in, and now you want to blame me for hitting you. That's part of the qadr of Allah as well. So just might as well keep the same thing. Stay along with your ID. But you see, you need to understand that you cannot use the qadr, you cannot use the decree to justify your ma'siyah, your sin. You can only use the qadr to justify one thing. What's that? The musibah, your trials, the tribulations, the calamities. That's when you can use al-qadr. Amma for what you've fallen in sin and haram, you cannot use the qadr as an excuse. Perfect examples in the Quran. Adam alayhi salam, he ate from the tree. He could have said, Ya Allah, you had already sent the message in Jannah, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Allah said to the angels, I'm going to appoint a khalifa in this land. This is even before Adam was created. What does that mean? It means eventually he's going to land where? On earth. But did he, after eat from the tree, he said, Ya Allah, you already decreed I'm going to go down through this masiyah. He didn't. Rather, what did he say? رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We wronged ourselves. He repented and Allah forgave him. Look at Iblis. Iblis was told, make sujood. He didn't make sujood. He disobeyed. Adam disobeyed as well. They both disobeyed. But you see the difference? One didn't try to argue with Allah. He accepted his sin and he repented and Allah forgave him. فَتَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. But Iblis, he disobeyed, but then he used his rationale. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهِ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. I'm better than him. You created him from clay, you created me from fire. His arrogance got him cursed till day of judgment. So one more hadith I'll share with you so we can really understand this point of how you're only able to use the qadr, the divine will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to justify the musibah. I can conclude this discussion with this hadith. Very important hadith. Make sure you pay attention from the beginning to the end, because the lesson we're going to learn, it's not clear from the hadith, it's embedded within the hadith. We're going to learn it in the lessons after this. Once Musa alayhi salam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he wants to meet Adam alayhi salam. He wants to speak to Adam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this meeting permissible. And he allowed Musa to meet with Adam. So then Musa asked Adam a question. He said, Anta Abu al-Bashar, are you the father of humanity? Adam responded, yes. He said, are you the one in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew within from inside of you his breath? He said, yes. He said, are you the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the names of all things and commanded the angels to prostrate to you? He said, yes. Then Musa alayhi salam, he asked him, you're the one, are you the one that made us and caused harm upon us and expelled us from the paradise? So Adam alayhi salam said, yes. So then Adam looked at Musa and he said, who are you? He said, I'm Musa. So then Adam asked him, he said, are you Kalimullah? Are you the prophet? Sorry, he said, Anta Bani Nabiyu Bani Israel. Are you the prophet of Bani Israel? The one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to? Are you the prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote the Torah with his hands and gave it to you? He said, yes. He said to him, didn't you find somewhere in the Torah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about what's going to happen to me? He said, yes. Then Adam alayhi salam asked Musa, how do you blame me on something that was written and decreed 40 years before Allah created me? The Torah was written before Allah created Adam. And it's written in the book. Why are you blaming me? It's already written in the book. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Adam got the better of Musa in the argument. Now that's the hadith. Let's explain exactly how we come to the understanding of that you're allowed to use the qadr to justify the musibah, the calamity. You see, apparently what we see from the hadith is that Adam alayhi salam, he said to Musa, why are you blaming me? Allah already decreed this upon me. So we can have the understanding of that, look, he used the divine will, he used the decree to justify his mistake. But that's not the case. You have to understand that when Adam said, are you blaming me on something, this something, what is it referring to? It's referring to Adam coming out of the paradise. It's not referring to the sin when he ate from the tree. So in Adam's case, you have two things. Eating from the tree, that's the sin. Coming, being expelled from the paradise, that's the musibah. So he used the qadr to justify what? Not the ma'siyah, the musibah. So from this hadith, we understand. Now to put it in simple example, if you're sick, wallah alhamdulillah, this is qadarullah. How you can use it. Your son, la samahallah, dies. Wallah, this is qadarullah, alhamdulillah. That's when you use the creed, the qadar, to justify. But not wallah, you fall into a haram, you commit zina, you smoke, you drink alcohol. Ya wallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted this for me. He willed this for me. That's not allowed. On the ma'siyah, it's not allowed. Rather, to the musibah, it is allowed. Inshallah ta'ala, we had a better understanding of this hadith and exactly how the divine will and how the mashi'ah and how the human effort works. And just keep in your mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He began with your intention first. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ. Put your effort first. Bring the human effort first. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ. When you have made the effort, then فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Then إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Then the second step comes, and that is that Allah will make the thousand steps that are in front of you much easier for you. So this was the ending and the conclusion of Surah Al-Takwir. Now before we begin with Surah Al-Infitar, obviously we have to connect these, the beginning of this Surah to the ending of this Surah. So this was Surah Al-Takwir. At the beginning of this Surah, some of the most enormous manifestations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine will are mentioned. So it is by Allah's qadr, it's by Allah's will that the sun will wrap up and lose its light. It's by Allah's qadr and by His will that the mountains will sail and that the stars will become stale and dull in their color and that the sky will start to peel off. This is all by Allah's qadr. And right at the end, the conclusion of the surah, it mentions the Mashiach, the decree, the divine will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beautiful connection. These things at the beginning are only because of what's mentioned at the end. These things at the beginning, which are the manifestation of Allah's qadr, are connected to the end of this surah because Allah mentioned His qadr at the end. Also, the beginning of this surah is about what will happen in the future. Right? إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. It's about what's going to happen in future on this world. And in the end, after you hear all this, it ends with a simple question. Aina tadhhabun? Where are you headed? Where are you going? Now that you know all this is coming your way, and you knew the reality of it, where are you going? You should only be going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in reality you're only going towards that day. There is no other way. Beautiful connection, the beginning and the ending of the surah. Now we begin with Surah Al-Infitar. And of course, before we begin in this surah, we have to now explain the ending of Surah Al-Infitar and how it connects with the beginning of the ending of Surah Al-Takwir, which we just concluded, and how that connects with the beginning of Surah Al-Infitar, which is the surah of our study, or this is the study, the surah that we're going to study inshallah ta'ala today. So at the end of Surah Al-Takwir, we found a challenge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We found a criticism, a question. That is, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ? Where are you headed? Where are you going? Now in response to this question, the beginning of this surah, Surah Al-Infitar, this surah begins by rhetorically answering this question. We are headed towards a day, whether you believe it or not, in which catastrophic events are going to take place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ. That when the sky will split open. So فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ? Where are you headed? It's rhetorically answered here. You're only headed towards إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ. You're headed towards a day when the sky splits. Meaning you're headed towards the day of judgment. So you better stand upright. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ. Better stand upright so you can be pleased on that day. And so you cannot face destruction and punishment on that day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ. The sky, تَنْفَطِرْ. It splits open. And this surah is a Makki surah. So of course, it's going to discuss the events of the Day of Judgment. So it begins with four major events. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. Allah will speak about the sky, about the stars, about the oceans, and then about the qubur, basically the earth. And we have already seen in the previous surah, in Surah Al-Takwir, we already seen this in the previous surah. So the question is, it's very important. Is this surah, is it a repeat of what came in the surah before? Or is it something different? We need to understand this. Because in the previous surah we read, وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ. Now in the surah Allah, وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ. We read in the previous surah, وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ. Now we're going to read, وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. And here, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. There, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. So really, what is it? Is it all the same? Or there's actually a difference? In the previous surah, Surah Al-Takwir, there were two themes that dominated the surah. And that is the theme of darkness and the theme of flame. So you find in the previous surah the words as kuwirat, which we said it's wrapped and it loses its light. That's darkness. In kadarat, when the stars lose their light, they become dull and stale in color. That's a theme, that's also darkness. Then Allah says, al-maw'udatu su'ilat, the baby girl that's buried, and this image, it illustrates an image of darkness, right? You're burying the daughter, then it's covered, it's dark in there. Then kushitat, you know, it's peeled and it's red. That's darkness. And فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ. Khunnas are the stars that twinkle. Light comes on and off and it gradually fades. That's darkness as well. Al-kunnas as well. This is darkness. Al-layli إِذَا عَسْعَسْ. As the night goes, it's all darkness. And the other theme that was manifest in the surah is flames. سُعِرَتْ سُجِّرَتْ. You know, this is all set ablaze. And a roaring, raging fire being set alight. And all these adjectives had something to do with darkness or had something to do with flames. Two dominant negative themes. Now in this surah, Surah Al-Infitar, we're going to see that the theme changes. The theme changes to the theme of movement, of motion, of ripping, of tearing, you know, of scattering, erupting, exploding. The theme is totally different, so the adjectives, the words are different. Subhanallah, beautiful. Beautiful, it comes right in its position, right in its place. And subhanallah, they are all connected to the previous surah as being a second stage. As being a second stage. Now if you still haven't understood what second stage would mean, as we explain these four ayat, I'll tell you what this means one by one with the ayat as we go along inshaAllah ta'ala. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ, when the sky is split open. إِذَا, there's no need to mention because last time we spoke about إِذَا in depth, but let's say إِذَا, it implies when it happens. It's just a matter of time. So it implies certainty. It is going to happen. This event is certain. And it also implies, let me share with you something new we didn't share the other time. It also implies all of a sudden. And this is referred to in the Arabic language, إِذَا الْفُجَائِيَّ. Right? All of a sudden. So you say, فَتَحْتُ الْبَابِ فَإِذَا هُوَ أَمَامِي. I open the door, and all of a sudden he's in front of me. Allah says in the Quran, فَأَلْقَى عَصَاهُ فَإِذَا هِيَ ثُعْبَانٌ مُبِينٌ. He threw his stick, he threw his staff, and all of a sudden, فَإِذَا, all of a sudden, it became a large, huge python. So, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ, certainly this is going to happen. When it happens, all of a sudden, it's just going to happen. All of a sudden, this samat, she's going to rip open, and it's going to peel. Now, a samat is the sky. In fatarat, comes from the word fatara, which literally means to tear something along its length. So if you were to tear something along its width, that's not infitar. This is a paper, you tear it across its length, the long way, that's infitar. That's infitar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying when this sky, when it splits open, spread vertical, it just rips open, splits open. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us in the Quran from now, from today. هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. Now and before, look in the sky. Do you see any tear? See, هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ. The same word. فُطُور. Allah is saying, look at the sky now. Do you see any tear or wear or any crack in it? You don't. As opposed to يعني, what you have of a ceiling today, look at the wear and tear in it. But Allah's creation is perfect. So anyway, you're invited right now. Irji' al-basar. And then irji' al-basara karratayn. You're not convinced, go again. And look again and a third and a fourth time. You won't find a split. You won't find a single tear and a crack in it. So this now, when Allah says, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ, it alludes to that the sky will be severely damaged across the horizon. Severely damaged. A long tear that's going to just go straight through the sky. Now this verb, مفطرت, is mainly used for sheets of cloth, for clothing, for cloth. That's in its classical Arabic, in its usage. And you can basically see a parallel in the imagery between the sheets of cloth and the sky. And that is that it's like the sky is a tent above us. You see, sometimes, subhanAllah, we need to understand that the Qur'an doesn't speak to us in scientific terms. Right? Not necessarily. Rather, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, He speaks to us based on human experience. What the eye can see. Allah says, you know, Qur'anan Arabiyan la'allakum ta'khilun. This is a Qur'an, a Arabic Qur'an, Arabic. So you can understand. So if we try to understand the Qur'an from a scientific perspective, we might totally miss the meaning. But if we try to understand this Quran according to the language and stay true to the language and not manipulate or misinterpret the ayat or the words that Allah uses, we'll get a better understanding of the Quran. So when we understand infitar and this verb is associated with sheets of cloth, we can sort of have this image of that the sky, it's like a tent above our head. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. He says, وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا. We made the sky above you like a canopy, a tent. You know, and it safeguards you, mahfuza. So now, the imagery is that we have this canopy, this tent over us. And this is going to have a severe rip in it. Now, remember I said this is the second stage? In the previous surah, that was the first stage. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ. So the first stage, it's peeled. And we already explained why. Because when the fire is set ablaze, الْجَحِيمُ سُعِرَتْ, and we said سُعِرَتْ means a blaze that it's like a mountain. It forms a mountain. It goes very, very high up. So when it gets high up, it's like something on the sky will just start peeling off. And we said kushibat is when you skin the animal. And when you skin an animal, when you, for example, skin the camel, the only thing you're exposed to is the red, the flesh, the blood. And this, obviously, the sky becomes red because the oceans become red. It's become fire. So this is what's now being illustrated. This is what's become like a mirror on the sky. Now after it's peeled off, this layer peels off, kushitat, the second stage is mentioned in this surah, khalas, it's almost melting. What happens? It rips now. Now إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ. It rips. And the third stage comes in two surah after, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْشَقَّتْ. So these are stages of what the sky will go through. They're not different words that they just come out of nowhere. They're stages. Right? And in the Quran there is the study of يعني التفسير الموضوعي, they call it. To study the Quran according to its chapters. You know? Take words that are similar and study how they come in order. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the human first. He created him from clay. Then once he says he created him from من طين اللازب, sticky clay, then صلصال كالفخار, you know, dry clay, then sometimes he says from water, then another time from سلالة من ماء مهين, basically the semen. So this is not contradictory, this is actually the stages. So now we studied the second stage. The first stage was it's being peeled off, the red exposes, وَرْدَةٌ كَالدِّهَانِ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانِ. Now the second stage is mentioned in this surah, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ. Now it rips open. So now imagine this other thing. You have this tent above your head, and it's got all these light bulbs. You know, if you are in a tent, like you go to Mina and the tents and so on there, you find that above you, there's lights. There's light bulbs, there's lamps. And people that long time ago lived in a tent, obviously they'll hang the light above. You don't put it down, you put it above. And that's why light is above, because that's where it can spread out more. So now you have this light above. Now imagine this tent above you and all these lights on it. When you rip this tent, you pull this tent away, what happens to the light bulbs? They drop, they fall. This brings us to the second ayah. وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. And when the stars start falling apart and they are scattered and they're dispersed everywhere. Now a lot of words in the Quran refer to dispersion. Something being scattered. You have انْتَثَرْ, انْفَضَّ, انْتَشَرْ, انْبَعَثْ. Let me share with you this word and what it actually means. They all mean to scatter and to disperse. But intifar, intathar, the one that's in this ayah, it is dispersion due to a sudden shake or due to a jerk. For example, let me give you the image of this. Your bed, you take a bunch of marbles or pearls or whatever and put it on the cloth of the bed, right? Put it on the bed. Then grab the blanket and pull it. What happens to the marbles? They go everywhere. This is exactly what intatharat means. So there's this sky above you. You know, you can just imagine the mess. You can just imagine where all... I mean, you had 1,000 marbles and you just pull it. Where all the marbles are going to go. And they're just going to keep rolling and moving everywhere. And it's going to take you hours to get back. So this is intatharat. Allah will rip the sky open. It'll tear. It'll be pulled away. Then tutwa, that's another later step. But what happens then are that all these light bulbs in the sky, the thousands and thousands and millions of stars, all of a sudden disperse and become scattered everywhere. And this is what, this is the second stage. So in the previous surah, we read what? وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ. We said انْكَدَرَتْ comes from انْكِدَار and kudra. This kudra is a color which refers to dull and being stale. So that's its first stage. It loses its light. They shut. The light bulb burns, turns off. The second stage, إِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. After that, they scatter. And we already mentioned how the chains of light and so on. So then, as a second stage, Allah mentioned in the surah, وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. Now they're dispersed, they're scattered all over the place. And now, the word is something very important also to realize. Who's picked up something already? Something different. A different word was used for stars here. That's right. They're kawakib. They're nujum. So what's the difference? You need to, this, every single word gives a difference. You need to stop and ponder with every word so you can understand the miraculous nature of this Quran. Nujum is plural. Its singular is najm. Najm literally means that which shines or that which twinkles. So light on and off, on and off. Remember in that surah we said that the dominating theme is darkness and flame? So the word nujum, referring to the stars, was more appropriate to mention in that surah. Because it's something that darkens, on and off. And the theme there was about darkness, so it's better suited there. Al-kawakib, kawakib is the plural, which is the singular of it is kawkab. And kawkab literally is a large star, large and a brilliant star. Or it's the most fixed of the stars that the Arabs or even the people, they use as a guidance as a navigation for their trip at night. That's kawakib. Kawakib also refers to the planets. You know, إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا. Kawakib actually could refer to the planets. The main idea you have with kawakib is that these are either huge stars that are fixed in their position, don't move, and they're the ones that the traveler relies on. They're the ones that the traveler relies on. That's a kawkab. Basically, it illustrates something that's fixed in its position. So najm is associated, or it highlights the twinkling and shining effect. And kawakib highlights the magnitude and the fact that this is a fixed creation that doesn't move. So the last thing you'll expect from a fixture like a kawakib is that it falls from its place and loses its position. That's the last thing associated with kawakib. So this word kawakib is mentioned, and it's more appropriate to mention in Surah Al-Infitar, because the theme is about what? It's about motion, ripping something, even if it just doesn't happen to rip, or something that's fixed, something that last thing you associate with is moving from its position. So subhanallah, because the theme there was darkness, and Nujum gave us this meaning, it best fits there. Kawakib It means something that's fixed in its position, something that's not going to move. And the theme of this surah is a more violent approach, ripping and tearing, erupting, exploding. So kawakib was mentioned here, so you can understand that the kawakib, one day, this is what will happen to it. Motion, it'll move from its place. Although you don't associate kawakib with a movement, it doesn't move. But on that day it will move. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in this surah. And we said this is the first stage, was in that surah, Nujum and Kadarat, the lights turn off. And also understand something, that Nujum is the common word. Nujum is the more common word, Kawkab is the more specific word. So Nujum could also refer to everything. Everything, every star you see in the sky, that could also refer to Nujum. So it's a more general term, while Kawkab is more of a specific term that only refers to these large stars or planets, or the stars that are fixed in their positions that the traveler relies on. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. It's very important as well to understand. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. And when in fact the oceans erupt and they explode, literally explode. Now in the previous surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. سُجِّرَتْ. We said سُجِّرَتْ, like for example, سَجَّرْتُ التَّنُّورُ, what? Boils. Sujirat means to boil. Boil over with heat. So you got the pot, for example, on the stove, and then you got all this coal in it and whatever, and it just starts boiling. That's sujirat. Now the theme in Surah At-Takwir was darkness and flames. So sujirat is more appropriate to be in there because that's the theme. And the theme of this surah is movement, motion, and fujirat, what does that mean? Means to explode, and that's a movement. So it best fits here. And this is the second process, the second stage. Now, we'll explain first fujirat. It comes from the word fajara. Fajara literally means to explode. Al-fajr, salat al-fajr, it was called salat al-fajr at fajr time, because the light, it rips through the darkness. Then it's time for Fajr. When the light rips, it explodes. It's, all of a sudden it starts becoming this light. The darkness goes away. That's why it was called Fajr. Also you have the word Al-Fajr. Fujar. It's going to come beautifully in the end of this surah. We're going to see the connection. وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ. The Fajr is someone that rebels against Allah Azza wa Jalla's commandments. Basically someone that explodes in sin. Might doesn't know a limit to where his stomach just explodes. Sin after sin after sin after sin. So he was called a fajr, coming from the word fajr, to explode. So the oceans explode. It means, what does that mean? إذا البحار فجرت. It means that they don't stay where they're supposed to stay. The oceans, they rip out of its place and it goes everywhere. You know, just like a tsunami or like a flood. The water of the ocean is supposed to be in the ocean. It ends up kilometers inland. That's fujirat. It comes out of its place. It's no longer to be seen in its place. So fujirat is more appropriate to be used in this surah because there's, as we said, the theme of motion and of movement. So also, fujirat is the second stage. How do we understand this? The first stage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. As the oceans start boiling with heat, you know, boils, 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 then here, fujirat, it explodes. You know, and sometimes, you can have sometimes accidents that things boil and then they explode, you know. For example, I don't know, just the spray can, for example, they tell you don't put it on the fire. Because if you put the spray can on the fire, then the gases inside start boiling. They boil, then the pressure comes and just explodes. So the boiling takes place first, then it explodes. You know, a volcano, it boils from inside, then eventually explodes. So subhanAllah, two stages. إِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. As it boils, then إِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. Then it explodes and it comes in this surah. Beautiful, you got to understand, stage one, stage two. That's how we understand it. طيب. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. And then I'm going to give you the chance to link this with the previous surah. We'll see who can bring me the connection. Allah is saying, وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. And when the graves are scattered. Now, there are three words in the Quran that refer to graves. Let me share these three with you so we can understand what this one here actually means. There's the word marqad, and there's qubur, which is the plural of qabr, and there is ajdath. Now, marqad is uncomfortable sleep, basically. You know, it's when you're not in deep sleep and you're annoyed. That's marqad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks about the kuffar when they come out of their grave. They say, قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا. This is in Surah Yasin. قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا. What? مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ قُبُورِنَا. No. مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. Subhanallah, look at this. You know the grave, there's severe punishment for the kafir. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla, we seek refuge in the عذاب القبر. We ask Allah to protect us from عذاب القبر. There's some severe punishment going on in the grave. When the kafir comes out of his grave and he sees the reality, he says, Ya waylana man ba'athana min marqadina. You see the irony? Subhanallah. He compares what he sees on the day of judgment to like an uncomfortable sleep, basically. While there was destruction, was something he's never seen in his life. But when he comes out and he sees what's in front of him, he sees, refers to, ah, man, that was just a sort of an uncomfortable sleep. That's all it was. There was nothing. What's in front of him now is shocking. So he says, مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. Oh, that was better. At least we had a better sleep than he. What's this? That's marqad, a place of an uncomfortable sleep. The other word that's used is ajdath. You know, ajdath comes from the word jadath. And jadath is like mass graves. Graves that have been for centuries and centuries on earth that there's no more markings on. That people build businesses above. People perhaps build their house above. There's no markings. We don't even know there was a grave here. You know, that's ajdath. And it's also mentioned in the Quran. That means a grave. And qabr. There's, you got the word qabr. Qabr literally means it's a place where you dig in the intention of burying someone. That's qabr. So if you're digging to put a plant, a seed or something, that's not qabr. When you dig to bury someone, then that's referred to as qabr. Can you see that the theme here of qabr is that for you, in order to dig, you're what? You're ripping the earth, right? So the word qabr comes in this surah because it's more appropriate for the theme of the surah. So Allah doesn't use another word. He doesn't say, وَإِذَا الْأَجْدَاثُ وَإِذَا الْمَرَاقِدُ فُجِّرَتْ. He used the word qabr because the word qabr means you're going to rip up the earth, right? You're going to dig the earth, then you're going to put the dead. So it had this theme of ripping, had this theme of motion, subhanAllah. So this word was used in this surah because that's the theme of the surah. SubhanAllah, amazing. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says بُعْثِرَتْ. بُعْثِرَتْ comes from the word بَعْثَرَ. بَعْثَرَ literally means to dig into something and then to turn it upside down and then to pull something from a collection of other things. That's بُعْثِرَتْ. So Allah gives this image for graves. He's saying that the grave on the day of judgment will be turned upside down. You know, just be turned upside down and you will be pulled out and then you'll be standing in before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the judgment. So now, وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ is a second stage. The first stage was mentioned in Surah At-Takwir. I'll give you the opportunity to think of where the ayah is. Where's the first stage in Surah At-Takwir? And then look for the word qabr because you're not going to find it there. No. Think carefully. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ here is the second stage. What is the first stage? 10 more seconds. أيها أحسن. وإذا النفوس زوجت. What was one of the meanings? What was one of the opinions of وإذا النفوس زوجت? Give us one of the opinions that's related. Why are you saying إذا النفوس زوجت? أحسن. This is it. This is the first stage. This is another opinion that comes after. I'll tell you where now. So the first stage is that the soul pairs up with its body. When the soul now pairs with its body, then as a second stage, Allah says, وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. Now the graves are undug. The graves, they disperse all this soil, all this dirt comes out. And then now you come out alive. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تُبْعَثُونَ أَحْيَاءً. You'll be resurrected alive. To be resurrected alive, there's got to be a soul in you. So that's the first stage. النُفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. The soul pairs with its body inside the grave. Then you don't have to push. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just brings it all out. بُعْثِرَتْ. You know, يعني think of بُعْثِرَتْ like this. You're in a rush and you've got your keys somewhere in a bag. Right, and it's somewhere in the bag, and you're in a rush, you want to get the keys. What do? You open the bag, you're going to look for the keys, or you're going to throw everything out and then look for the key? You throw everything out. That's bu'athirat. Everything is thrown out of the grave, and then you come out. That's why idha al-quburu bu'athirat. So that's a second stage. Your soul comes to your body, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just throw everything out of the grave, everything comes out, everything is turned upside down, and now you stand alive in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ready for the judgment. Then after this is the opinion of إذا النفوس زوجت. What was the other opinion we said? That's right. When you're paired with your deeds, and when you're paired with your group. So then the good are joined with the good, the bad are joined with the bad. And يحشر المرء مع من أحب. Basically, whoever you liked, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He pairs you up with them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pair us up with the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. طيب. طيب, this was the last event that's mentioned in this surah. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this passage. He said, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. You gotta also take into consideration that the surah before Surah At-Takwir, there were a lot of events that were mentioned. You know, a lot of events. In this surah, there's only four. Well, that's why. That's why there's four, because they're already mentioned in the other surah. What was mentioned in here was only a second stage, that's all. And later on in Surah Al-Inshiqaq, only two things are going to be mentioned. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. There we're going to hear about the earth. InshaAllah ta'ala will explain when it comes. So there's about 10 here, Surah Al-Takwir, then about 4 in Surah Al-Infitar, then about 2 in Surah Al-Inshiqaq, because that's it. It's coming to the final conclusion of the Quran. These are just reminders. And then it ends. And each one is understood in its place. It's not a repeat. It's basically a stage after. SubhanAllah. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also concludes this passage by saying, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Amazing connection. In the surah before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concluded that entire passage with what? عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. Forwards. هِيَ عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. More words are used here. So automatically, logically, it tells you that this ayah here is an explanation of this ayah here, because it's got more words. So it explains it. So in order to understand عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ, we need to say عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Then you understand what أَحْضَرَتْ means. So عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. Every single person will already know for sure. It's like you can see what they have presented forward, أَحْضَرَتْ. What they have قَدَّمَتْ. What they have sent forward, literally. And akharat, what they have left behind. Now qaddamat comes from the word qaddama. It refers to the good and the bad deeds that you do. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say alimat nafsum ma fa'alat. Each and every single soul will already know what it did.
He said what he has sent forward. Now, what's the understanding? Why does Allah say sent forward? What do we understand from this? You know, it's very easy to understand now, because it gives the example, the very good example of this to use, and what it actually is illustrating, ما قدمت. You know, if you send an email and you press forward, you forward an email, can you take it back? It's gone. Halas, it's gone. Until they يعني, develop something new. But for now, the technology doesn't allow you to retrieve it. You hit forward, you hit send, that's it's gone forward, it's finished. It's not in your hand, it's not in your control anymore. So, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ. SubhanAllah, we can't understand it now. It gives us the idea, it implies that what you do of good and bad, what you say of good and bad, goodbye, it's gone. It is gone forward. What Allah judges you is different. That's going to come at the end of this surah. Right? So do not rush to the understanding. Rather just understand that whatever you do is sent forward. Who's the one that writes what you do? What's the mechanism? You know, like if you were going to forward an email, you would do it either off the phone, either you do it off the computer. When you want to send a parcel overseas, you do it through companies like Australia Post, through FedEx, through... There's a company, there's a mechanism. Your actions, what's the mechanism? What sends it forward? Huh? The angels, which is going to be mentioned in this surah. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. SubhanAllah, you know why everything is sent forward? You know why every single thing is sent forward? Because the angels don't judge you. They don't know your intention. So they have to send everything forward. I don't know, did you repent sincerely? You didn't, I'm going to just send everything. You did this, you don't know, out of desperation, well, I have to send it forward. That's his job. And that's why Allah, he describes these angels as it comes in the surah, kiraman katibin. Kiram, noble. They don't cheat. Part of their nobility, just like Jibreel alayhi salam there, Kareem, Allah referred to him, he also, these angels are noble. They don't cheat. They don't sit down, oh, I hate this person. Ya Allah, times 10 sin. That doesn't happen. Or you know, they hold a grudge against someone. Oh, he did good, he's minus some hasanat from his record. They don't know your intention. So everything is sent forward. SubhanAllah, that's part of their nobility. That's kiraman. You got to understand this. So, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. So when you're punished by the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because this angel, he cheated in your book. Or you don't go to Jannah because this angel made you pass. That's why they have to record everything and have to send everything forward. That I know your intention. And then I hold a grudge against anyone. And this is their job, and they're fulfilling their job because they're noble in their job. So this is عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ. Each and every single person will know what they have sent forward. Inshallah, after the adhan, we'll just conclude with وَأَخَّرَتْ. We'll conclude inshallah with this ayah, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. In brief, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that every single soul will know for sure مَا قَدَّمَتْ, what it had sent forward, what it has done of good and bad, and what it said of good and bad, and also it'll know مَا أَخَّرَتْ. And this is interesting here, there's a few sayings in أَخَّرَتْ we'll share with you. أَخَّرَتْ means what was left behind of good and of bad, its traces and its effects. So you know, in your life, there were opportunities that presented themselves before you, alaykum as-salam, that you should have taken, that you'll regret on that day. So there was the opportunity of, you know, praying fajr every day in the masjid. There was the opportunity of fasting every second day. There was the opportunity of giving a sadaqah when a fundraiser was being held. There was these many opportunities. Allah is saying on that day, you're going to alimat ma akharat. You're going to remember, you're going to know fully well what opportunities that passed by and you didn't take it. You're going to remember fully exactly. Oh, I should have given then. I should have prayed that day in the masjid. I should have said this. I should have. This is what akharat. You'll regret. So there are some things on that day that you'll regret. That goes under akharat.
And there are some things on that day that you'll actually be happy that you left. That's also wa'akharat. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us the story of someone that's in paradise. He says, قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ إِنِّي كَانَ لِي قَرِينَ. I used to have a friend. But then he left him in this life. He left him in this life. You know, this is عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. He says, Alhamdulillah, I left him. Why Alhamdulillah, he left him? Because apparently when he's in his paradise, he says, فَطَّلَعَ فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. He looks up and he sees him, he's in fire. Alhamdulillah, I left him in this world. I had nothing to do with him. You know, this is something you'll remember on that day. Alhamdulillah, I left that. You had a business that sells smoke, that sells tobacco, that sells alcohol, that sells drugs. You left it now, you'll say, Alhamdulillah, I left it. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. You smoke today, you leave it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. But he left of opportunities. Alhamdulillah, you'll say. So there are things you'll be regretful about. You'll feel sorry to yourself. Wallah, an opportunity of good came past, I didn't take by it. And there are things you'll be happy about that you left and you didn't approach. Or you were on and you left. And another meaning of ما قدمت وأخرت, some of the ulama would say قدمت means in its early years. What things you did in the beginning of your life. And أخرت, things you did in the end of your life. That's one say. And another opinion, يعني basically on that opinion it'll mean that علمت نفس ما قدمت وأخرت, you will know what you did in the beginning of your life and you'll know what you did in the end of your life. Basically everything. A complete history and a record of your life. Another saying of عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Another saying in أَخَّرَتْ, this is interesting, is the consequences of what you did. The traces, the effects of what you did. So if you contributed towards a well, you contributed towards a صَدَقَ جَارِيَة, an ongoing charity, contributed towards building a masjid, then when you die, that hasana keeps going for you, keeps counting for you. When you get up on the day of judgment, you'll know exactly what kept going on for you as after you died. مَا قَدَّمَتْ. And also, this could mean in the sense of bad. The bad you did, the sins you did, on that day, you'll see its traces and effects and its consequences. So for example, you're the one that established a business that sells tobacco and alcohol and drugs and haram. And you fed your children from this. And your children inherited this business after you. And you died. And their children just don't even know what Islam is. They inherited this business. And their children just became kuffar. And this place became worse. That's all on your neck. That's what akharat. All this you'll find there on that day. Alimat. You will know for sure. And you'll know really good. This was your thing. So establish good, contributing good, so it can keep going for you, so on that day you see it in front of you. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. And finally we say that this ayah is جَوَابُ الشَّرْطِ. So that means it's connected with every single shart that came before. So that is, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ. When this event unfolds, you will already realize and know for sure and for good مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. And وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. So always when you have this, you'll have this عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. One more thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the hereafter. He says, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He refers to the hereafter as a reminder. You know, when you remind someone of something, it's in the past. It's memory. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of something we haven't even seen. He calls Yawm al-Qiyamah at-tadhkira, a reminder. We haven't even seen it. Now what does this imply? That's actually an oxymoron. Something we haven't seen, Allah refers also, it's a reminder. And He reminds us of this to our benefit. We are being taken to the future and told this is coming.
You're being warned. It's becoming almost the memory for us. Every single time we speak about Yawm al-Qiyamah, eventually, look at the psychological impact this has. It's like it's a memory. It's like we've seen this. We've already been there. And now you're living a chance. So that's why it's called a reminder. Because it's so deeply rooted in your mind that now it becomes a reminder. It's something in the past. Subhanallah, this is for a future event. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the opportunity to take the advantage of this reminder from the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us students of the Quran, people who benefit from the reminders of the Quran. Innahu waliyu dhalika wal qadiru alayh. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.